It's very difficult to predict what's going to happen with this pandemic. And one thing that we've learned from this pandemic is that it's impossible to predict what's going to happen next.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we speak with the Chief Medical Officer of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Not long ago, Dr. Mitchell Wolf was back at his alma mater, the University of Vermont Larner College of Medicine. The CDC's chief medical officer met with state leaders, medical students, and researchers, and took part in a discussion titled Perspectives on Global Health. Before his current role, Dr. Wolf was acting director of the CDC's Washington office and served as director of the CDC Global AIDS Program Thailand Asia Regional Office. The epidemiologist has also held a variety of positions, and as you'll hear, COVID-19 remains an acute focus. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
What brought you back to Vermont on Monday?
You know, I'm really happy to be able to come back. I've not been back to my medical school since graduation in 1995, and I really wanted to come back to see how they were doing and also to relay perspective on global health careers for medical students.
I know it's probably too long for this conversation, but what was your path from Vermont to your current role?
Yeah, I always had an interest in public health and global health. And when I was doing residency, I got great advice from mentors for a public health career, there was a way to go to CDC and then you'd be able to have a public health and global health career. So I entered CDC after residency, and since then I've been working, I worked overseas for 10 years, and I've been working on global health issues. So it was really a great intervention by mentors of mine that helped point me in the right direction.
Given the pandemic and all of the focus on public health in this country recently, what's morale like for people who do the kind of job that you do and who, you know, are the front-facing medical folks that we've been following for the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's been a very busy and intense 2 years. I would say that we're not burned out. We're just committed to bringing this pandemic to an end. And the way we're going to do that is by working to get everybody vaccinated and to enforce and try to enhance mitigation measures. So we're all committed to ending this pandemic. This is why we went into public health, to try to fight outbreaks like this.
Did you learn anything during your time at postings overseas that you've applied to your work on this particular problem in the U.S.?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we focus on overseas is how you approach problems and what is the best way culturally to be able to implement programs that are going to have impact. And I think that we've learned a lot from our global work that we've been able to implement here. And part of that is developing local messages with local trusted leaders, and also having an alignment from the state, from the federal and state to the local, as far as how we're going to implement implement mitigation measures. And so we've learned from overseas those things, and that, you know, it's really important to be able to understand the community and address the community needs at the local level.
Is something like vaccine hesitancy a uniquely American phenomenon?
It's not. There is the need for demand generation, and there's vaccine hesitancy around the world. It's in many countries, and there's a lot of different reasons for it. And so I think we need to really understand what the reason is for vaccine hesitancy in every community and every individual if we're going to address it properly.
How would we go about that, given the fact that we're in a state of emergency, more or less? So it's got to be done in, you know, sort of an expedited manner.
It definitely can be done. We've made very good progress in the world. We've had over 8 billion vaccines and about 55% of the world vaccinated. There are still definitely regions and countries where vaccination is low, but we have made great progress. So we have learned how to administer vaccines to these populations, some of which are initially hesitant. However, there's more to be done. And I think that we need to inform our interventions based on local needs and local issues. And so one of the things that we have to do is really beef up our state and local health department trained workforce to be able to do that.
What's your assessment of the state of the COVID pandemic right now in this country?
Well, we continue to have waves, and right now we're having a wave that is primarily Delta. Over 95% of the cases are the Delta variant. And so that's a very infectious variant, but we know how to stop it. And the way we stop it is through vaccination and through mitigation efforts. So we've seen our ability to address the waves and have them go down. And I think we need to go to the areas where we're having the increases and really work on those specific issues that we know work.
Do you think that given the fact that we keep hearing about and then trying to deal with new variants of the coronavirus, is COVID here to stay in one shape or another as we go forward here? Should we sort of reestablish what our expectations are for this pandemic?
Yeah, it's a great question and one that we think about a lot. You know, it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen with this pandemic. And one thing that we've learned from this pandemic is that it's impossible to predict what's going to happen next. However, it's very likely that there are going to be new variants as long as there are still outbreaks of COVID. So what we need to do is plan for the fact that this could be with us for a while in some form. We have a lot of promising countermeasures with the vaccine, with antivirals that are coming out. We are going to improve testing to be able to identify who has the disease and then can better focus our control efforts. And so I think that we need to be planning for the possibility that this is going to be with us for a while and how we're going to adapt our interventions for that. For example, modifying our vaccines to be able to cover variants if those variants are able to escape immunity from vaccines. So that's something we're watching closely, and with the Omicron, something we'll know a lot about in the coming weeks.
The talk that you gave was called Perspectives on Global Health. You have worked on a number of other diseases over your career. Are there, you know, certain emerging threats or diseases in the U.S. or in other places around the world that just aren't getting the attention right now that they normally would, given the focus on COVID?
Well, we are making a very strong effort to ensure that other core public health activities don't suffer in the face of doing our COVID interventions. For example, it's very important that we maintain our global childhood vaccination programs so we don't have measles outbreaks, and measles is a highly lethal disease. So we're working very hard to make sure that we maintain our programs as we increase COVID. As far as addressing specific diseases, I think what we need to focus on is working with other countries to build their core capacity to prevent, detect, and respond to any infectious disease threat. We don't know what the next threat is going to be. We don't know what the next pandemic is going to be, but we can predict that there probably is going to be one. And there are many kind of core activities that we can, and core capacities that we can help build that will help fight any of the next pandemic. And then as far as specific diseases, we must keep our eyes on flu, because flu is a real possibility to be the next pandemic. And so that's something that we're focusing on, a disease that we're focusing on very carefully, a specific disease to build for surveillance and to build capacity to fight it.
What happens if we have two pandemics at the same time and they're both respiratory-based illnesses? I mean, that can't be a promising scenario in your mind.
Well, you know, there are many possibilities can happen, and what we're doing now is working with other countries to build their ability to prevent disease, to detect a next disease, and to respond quickly. I think that if countries have that ability, they'll be able to respond to whatever comes up. You know, CDC works with other countries to respond to hundreds of infectious disease threats a year, some of which are concurrent. And most of them nobody ever hears about. So countries do have the ability to work on multiple diseases at the same time.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you would like to mention in this interview?
Just that I think medical students are our future, and it's really important that we equip medical students with all of the tools that they can have to be good global citizens and to be able to address diseases locally and nationally. And so I'm really excited to be able to come here and talk to them about global health, about perspectives in global health careers to try to motivate them to be interested in global health and have some have global careers.
Dr. Mitchell Wolf is Chief Medical Officer for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and he spoke to us while making a personal visit to the University of Vermont Larner College of Medicine, his alma mater. Dr. Wolf, thank you for your time, and thank you for speaking with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.